Coming up on Terp Weekly Edition, more Terps are going global.
The campus comments on a disappointing football season.
And Maryland students learn the three R's, reading, writing, and relaxation. Terp Weekly Edition starts now.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Jennifer Memolo.
And I'm Matt Moderno. Cheering at basketball and football games, getting ice cream at the dairy, and rubbing Testudo's nose are all staple of a Maryland student's college experience. A recent report by the Institute of International Learning shows that studying abroad may be soon added to that list. Terp Weekly Edition's Kara Crawford has more.
The university's study abroad program recently achieved its highest national ranking ever. Despite this climb, UM's program still fell short to the programs of competing universities. The Institute of International Education, a nonprofit organization focused on higher education and global learning, ranked the university's spring and fall programs 25th and its summer and winter programs 19th. The rankings are based on the percentage of Maryland students who study abroad. Dr. Michael Ulrich, the university's Director for International Education Services, says his department is strategizing ways to make study abroad more desirable to students. The first step is to combat some major misconceptions about the study abroad experience.
One important factor is finances. Students, of course, have an assumption that study abroad is expensive, and there are programs that are expensive, but it's also true that students who have financial need can often save money by studying abroad. And there are programs even for students who don't get financial aid that if they went on a study abroad program, it'd be less expensive than a semester at Maryland. Study abroad isn't just for rich kids and it isn't just expensive.
Another wrong assumption that students make about studying abroad is that it will hurt them academically, either causing a drop in their grades or risking their ability to graduate in 4 years. Dr. Ulrich shared that study abroad may actually do the opposite.
If you plan early enough, you can still graduate in 4 years. And students who study abroad are more likely to graduate in 4 years than students who don't, and their GPAs are also statistically higher than students who don't graduate in 4 years. So some students often think, well, maybe study abroad will hurt my GPA or something. It's a really valuable experience, and students who do it always come back and say it was one of the best experiences of their college time.
Perhaps the greatest misconception among students is that study abroad isn't worth their while. As Dr. Ulrich explains, the experience fosters invaluable educational and personal growth.
Maryland College Park classes on campus are obviously wonderful, but they're often limited by a classroom environment. When you're studying abroad, you can take those barriers away. You can actually be out in the city. Often students discover new things about themselves when they're abroad. They might find a different major. They might double major. They might pick up a language. All kinds of things that the earlier you get outside of your comfort zone, the earlier you go abroad and find out new things you might want to do, the better it's going to be for your return to make sure you make those better choices when you get back to campus.
Dr. Ulrich did not study abroad as a college student because he shared many of the same misconceptions as some Maryland students. He now helps thousands of Terps travel abroad each year and says that it's a great way to challenge those wrong assumptions. In College Park, I'm Kara Crawford for Terp Weekly Edition.
The foundation for the East Campus project is on shaky ground after $15 million were lost after developer Fulger, Pratt, and Argo dropped out last week, reports the Diamondback. Without a primary developer, the city of College Park is seemingly reluctant to approve any more requests for funding. Vice President for Administrative Affairs Ann Wiley said the university is unsure of how they will make up the costs FP Argo were supposed to cover.
The McDonald's and the Stamp Student Union is a popular choice for many Maryland students looking for a quick bite. But one group on campus won't be biting down anytime soon. Terp Weekly Edition's Shauna Stewart tells us how some students are gearing up to give Mickey D's the boot.
It's 12 noon, and for Young Dean College students, that means lunchtime. And while the Stamp Student Union is at its busiest this time of day, no place in the union is more packed than the food court on the ground floor. Filled with students talking, sitting around tables, and standing in line, waiting for a quick bite to eat. Out of the 7 fast food options in the court, McDonald's usually has one of the longest lines. But there's one student group that won't be lined up to eat at the Golden Arches anytime soon, and that's VegTerps, a student group created to bring together campus vegans and vegetarians, but they also focus on animal rights. They recently launched a campaign to remove McDonald's from the stamp, saying the practices McDonald's uses to get their meat is cruel and inhumane.
Well, this is actually a PETA campaign, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and we're working underneath them on this campaign, and the main reason is for the animal rights, because right now they're alive and conscious when they're being slaughtered. So we're asking for a controlled atmosphere killing where they're put to sleep and then they're processed for their meat.
That's Michelle Carr, president of VegTerps.
Right now, McDonald's refuses to, for the past 20 years, refuses to switch to controlled atmosphere killing. So with the campaign, we're basically saying that we don't tolerate these practices.
VegTerps is one of the many campus organizations around the country spreading awareness about McDonald's and animal rights. But their campaign is different from most.
We're the first nation to work on getting McDonald's removed. Other campuses, other universities have worked with McCruelty campaign. We're the first university to take action to remove McDonald's from campus.
VegTerps met with the Stamp Student Union Advisory Board in November. Co-chair Tad Greenleaf said the organization brought up some good points, but the board needs to see more evidence that removing McDonald's would sit well with EMD students.
I think the kind of central point for us as a board is saying, is this something that a majority of students want? Because ultimately we're here to represent the interests of students across this campus. And I think ultimately we had to make the decision that while their arguments, while VegTerps' arguments, they certainly made some fair points, that we needed to see a little bit more evidence that this was something that had broad support before we took any immediate action.
VegTerps is currently circulating a petition to collect support for the campaign. Greenlee says if the organization gets a significant amount of signatures, the advisory board would look into some changes.
They, you're probably aware, have had a petition going and have somewhere around the neighborhood of like 2,000 signatures, which is certainly not an insignificant number. But the numbers for the McDonald's here from January to September of this year numbered at somewhere around 214,000 customers. So, you know, that's really a signal to us about the sheer volume of people about the demand for McDonald's. So, you know, what we said to them is that we'll continue to monitor that customer count. And if we see, you know, a decline in that count, that will be a signal to us that maybe McDonald's isn't as in demand as we think.
VegTerps member Gilles Gobeau knew the campaign to give McDonald's the boot wouldn't be easy, especially since McDonald's offers a cheap meal option for tight student wallets.
We've had like debates in there, and we're like, that is where kids go. Like, it's open the latest or one of the latest. And you always see people in line, even like at 5, 6 o'clock, and they're just buying food, and then all the other places are closed. So yes, people do go there because it's cheap.
But Michelle Carr says despite setbacks, VegTerps will still continue with the campaign to spread awareness of animal cruelty.
Well, even if we can't get McDonald's removed, we still want to continue with the outreach. If we can tell everyone about the issue of what's going on with these animals, that would be great. So doing outreach, like handing out leaflets, doing demos, that sort of stuff.
This is Shauna Stewart for Terp Weekly Edition.
After 20 years on the job, University Police Chief Ken Krause is retiring. And Terp Weekly Edition's Josh Narotsky tells us why Krause was such an asset to the university and gives us an idea of what's in store for his replacement.
In 1966, Ken Krause started his law enforcement career with the Baltimore County Police Department. Now, 43 years later, after a wide array of accomplishments and honors, Krause is retiring from his post as police chief of the University of Maryland Police Department. After spending his first 22 years in law enforcement with the Baltimore County Police Department, where he advanced to the rank of major, Krause came to the University of Maryland in 1989. Police spokesperson Paul Dillon spoke highly about his boss and all the qualities he brought to the department.
He's done a great job building our agency up, getting us more resources, helping reduce crime, being a really good leader.
Dillon said one of Krause's most noteworthy accomplishments was putting the police department on the map. 10 years ago, the police department became accredited by a national panel, something that Dillon said would not have been possible without Krause's hard work.
One of his primary goals here was to get us accredited early on in his career, and accreditation is through the a national organization that accredits police departments across the country. You have to meet a bunch of standards of how you operate, whether it be how you do investigations, how you handle property, how you do a whole bunch of things. And we got accredited under his leadership. That was one of his greatest accomplishments.
Prior to Krause's arrival, the equipment in the police department was very lackluster. But as Dillon explained, things have changed in that department for the better under Krause's watch.
We had old revolver weapons, and really our equipment and our cars were really poor. So he's really done a great job in getting us the proper equipment to do the job, whether it be uniforms, weapons.
Krause's retirement becomes official on December 31st. He will be replaced on interim basis by Major Mark Sparks, while the police department conducts a search for a permanent police chief. Whether that person is Sparks or someone else, Dylan hopes that person will take advantage of Krause leaving the department in a good state, as well as improving on Krause's work.
What I would advise the next chief is to look for areas where you can improve. But I don't think too much change needs to happen immediately because of I think the chief is leaving it in a good state.
For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Josh Naratsky.
SGA President Steve Glickman requested more than $6,000 be added onto the SGA budget next semester to support three programs they have run in the past, which include a multicultural expo, a second look fair, and a student group awards event. SGA Vice President of Finance Andrew Steinberg called the appeal fiscally irresponsible and recommended the group stick to using their reserves, which from the past 5 years have totaled about $40,000, the Diamondback reports. Glickman has admitted that while the programs could be funded through reserves, it would require three new bills being presented and passed in the legislative body. Steinberg said the SGA should be using the reserves and should refrain from double-dipping from the student group fiscal pool.
Up next, the Terps are talking all things sports.
And our very own campus theater is putting everyday movies on the chopping block. You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition.
Edition. I'm Jennifer Mamelou.
And I'm Matt Moderno. The field hockey team had a devastating loss in the NCAA championships this year after winning every game in the regular and postseason until they faced ACC rivals, the UNC Tar Heels. While the loss may sour the team's near-perfect record, they still have a lot to smile about, as five players have been named All-Americans, and junior Katie O'Donnell was named 2009 National Player of the Year and nominated for a prestigious Honda Award.
This year's football season tested the resolve and loyalty of the most diehard fans. When a team plays as poorly as the Terps did, all eyes typically look to the coach as the source of the team's problems. Now that the decision has been made to bring back head coach Ralph Regan for another season, Terp Weekly Edition's Michael O'Neill asked students and faculty whether they felt the Fridge deserved another chance.
Terp fans had very little to cheer about this football season. The Terp football team is currently coming off of possibly its worst season in school history, only winning 2 games and losing 10 games for the first time ever. What seems to be occurring more in recent years is when a team plays as poorly as the Terps, the primary blame falls on the man at the top, the head coach. Since the college football regular season recently ended, programs such as Louisville and Notre Dame are seeing coaching vacancies and trying to find replacements for their prospective programs. So I ask you, did the athletic department make the right choice allowing Coach Friedgen to coach another year?
Yes, I believe Ralph Friedgen does deserve at least one more year as head coach because one bad year doesn't define a person's whole career.
I believe that he does deserve another year as coach. He does make the team, but also the team makes itself as well. The players, they have a lot of potential, and I think that they'll come back stronger. And I think that he'll help them to come back stronger.
I think he should come back because, I mean, everybody has a rough year. I mean, look at Gary Williams. How many rough years has he had?
One student feels the athletic department is holding on to Friedgen for monetary concerns.
He started out really doing really well and has gone downhill, but I think just for monetary reasons, I think he should stick on just to finish his contract and then find somebody new.
Sports psychology professor Dr. Elizabeth Brown believes giving Coach Friedgen another year to develop his young players will be worth the wait.
He has a young team. He has a wonderful rapport with that team, and they want to work for him. And if he has one more year, it'll just demonstrate that they will be more prepared for the ACC.
Before people are too quick to pass judgment on Friedgen, he has led the Terps to 6 bowl games, including 2 New Year's Day appearances. Before Friedgen arrived, the team only appeared in 1 bowl game in 15 seasons. In Friedgen's first 3 seasons at the helm, he posted a team record of 31 wins and only 8 losses. But since the 2003 season, the Terps have a losing record of 35-38 under Friedgen. Some students believe a change is now necessary.
I do think that he made a lot of pretty bad decisions throughout the season, coaching decisions, and you know, I'm not like completely like upset that he's coming back, but I'm not so happy to see him back either.
I mean, he's been here for a while, but team's not so good, so could help to get a new guy in.
He's been inconsistent for years. There's no reason to keep him.
Gathered a 2-10 season, I'm very, very surprised that Friedgen is given a chance to return.
Hopefully, Friedgen can develop his team of young players. Offensive lineman Phil Costa is the only member on the offensive line who will not be returning next season. The team also has 3 young and talented quarterbacks who will be competing for the starting job. Hopefully, a bright future, despite a bleak year, will resurrect the program from how it was when Friedgen first arrived. In College Park, I'm Michael O'Neill for Terp Weekly Edition.
Another group qualified and always ready to comment on Ralph Friedgen and his football team would be the staff of WMUC Sports. They are currently going through some positive changes and upgrades that will allow them to better inform and entertain fans of Maryland athletics. I got the update on the ones giving you the sports report. WMUC Sports is a student-run sports radio station that covers University of Maryland athletics and is broadcast online. All members of WMUC Sports are volunteers, but just because they don't get paid for their work, doesn't mean they don't provide high-quality sports coverage. The station broadcasts either full or partial seasons for more than 10 different Terrapin teams and airs talk shows Monday to Friday from 3 p.m. to midnight. WMUC Sports is in the process of building on what they currently do in order to provide more expansive coverage to Maryland students and fans. To hear about that growth, I sat down with Rob Dawson, the station's sports director.
We're trying to really get out in the community, get out to the adults and students, for that matter, so that they could see what we're all about. We are trying to do, we did our Power Hour shows, our football pregame show, from Alumni Center this year. We went outside 7 times, which is pretty impressive. We also are planning on trying to do a similar thing with men's basketball and women's basketball pregame show for a few games later on in the season on-site at one of local restaurants, either Applebee's or Lido's right now. And Lido's wants to do it anyway. Now we need to make sure that it works for us, and that's what the next step is, and they are in the process as we speak. So we're keeping our fingers crossed and hoping that good things can come out of it.
What else is new at WMUC Sports?
We are also thinking about trying to do something more in the contest realm of trying to give away men's basketball ACC tickets. It may not happen. We're trying to see. We're trying to toss around the idea. We are also concentrating. We would like to concentrate on being outside for Maryland Day. I think that's a good goal of everybody here. The press box should be open, so we should be going back to our regular ritual of broadcasting the spring football game, which we used to do, which was put on hiatus last year because of the construction. But in addition to that, maybe pulling some of our best talk shows and having an afternoon of talk shows at Maryland Day before the football game.
Renovations to the station have also been taking place.
We were able to purchase a new computer, which helped us, and we're trying to clean up and make our office of use again instead of a storage room, which was how it was used primarily before this year.
Why go through all this trouble, you might ask?
There are not enough people that know about us, and that really needs to change. And if we can get even just one more person, that's really saying something. There's a lot of people that do a lot of good work. That's why we want to be out to showcase that to everybody.
So what is it that sets WMUC Sports apart from other media outlets that cover Maryland?
For many of our sports, we're the only broadcast outlet. And there are a lot of these smaller sports, even though they are small and not revenue-making, they do have their niche fans. And this is a place where you can listen to every, 70% of the schedule for all these smaller sports. And that's something we pride ourselves in. We're giving voices to the small guys, too, as well as the big guys, football and men's basketball. And that's where I think it is. And the listeners, we're improving. I mean, that new equipment makes us sound clearer, makes us sound better. And a couple of other things here and there to try and help us improve the way we do is something to look forward to.
And for those who may be interested in joining the station staff?
if you are a sports fan and you appreciate any kind of thing going on in sports, either on the university campus or in the professional realm, this is a good place. You can speak your mind about it. You can improve. You can improve your skills about talking in front of the microphone, in front of other people. And a lot of people who come through here, even if they do a talk show, they still feel a little bit more confident than they did before about speaking on the air, speaking in front of a mic. And for the people who do a lot of people go on to successful things in future as far as broadcasting or sports reporting on television or on radio. So it's a great way to get involved in and talk about stuff that you like to talk about.
From the WMEC Sports Studio for Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Matt Moderno.
Movie buffs beware! Hoff Theater has fallen victim to Maryland's never-ending list of budget cuts, and Terp Weekly Edition's Allie Prout got the inside scoop on the failing theater's plans for next semester.
Almost four decades after first opening its doors, Hoff Theater is all but closing those doors on the movie business. According to the Diamondback, Hoff costs about $233,000 a year to run, but only receives $150,000 a year to operate, creating an $80,000 funding discrepancy. And while many avid moviegoers may miss their very own theater on campus, plenty of students won't even notice the difference.
Have you ever been to Hoff Theater?
No.
Have you ever been to Hoff Theater?
No, I have not.
Have you ever been to Hoff Theater?
No.
Ever been to Hoff Theater?
No, I have not.
Have you ever been to Hoff Theater?
No, not really.
And some students didn't even go to the Hoff to catch a movie.
I've never been to Hoff Theater for an actual movie. I've been for other events, but never for a movie. I went to an a cappella show for the Troublemakers, I guess, last semester.
I went to watch a program, like a fashion show, of Ethiopian Student Association.
I caught up with junior broadcast major Faye Koya, who spoke with STAMP Student Union Director Gretchen Metzelaars to get the inside scoop on the Hoff's future.
Well, she told me, Allie, that the Hoff will just be reducing its hours of operation. They will not be showing movies Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They're only going to show them on the weekend. Only like 20 people come in those 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The other days, I don't think the Hoff staff will be showing like films like they do now. I think like C can come in there and show a movie if they want to. I don't think it affects the student groups at all. I think it's just the Hoff doesn't want to show these movies anymore.
Lack of advertising may be to blame for the lack of profits forcing the theater to pull programming. Many students admitted that when it came to going to see a movie, they simply didn't know what the theater was playing or when.
I guess I never really heard about what movies were being played there. They weren't very good at advertising to begin with, like whenever they had like free movies and stuff like that. Like, it was kind of a word of mouth thing. It wasn't like, oh, I saw an ad for a poster for this.
They sent me like an email saying there were like free movies or some sort, I would be more inclined to go.
So while you won't have to worry about missing out on the Hoff Theater experience entirely, you will have to deal with very limited showings next semester. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Allie Prout.
December is AIDS Awareness Month, and the University of Maryland showed support for that cause on Tuesday. Caitlin O'Brien has more on how students on campus help raise awareness of this disease.
Last week, students and activists all around the world helped participate in World AIDS Week. At the University of Maryland, students engaged in different activities all week to raise awareness about the disease, discuss ways to prevent it, and commemorate those who are being afflicted by the deadly virus. Tuesday marked the kickoff of World AIDS Week. The university's SHARE program held a forum discussing the misconceptions and myths about preventing HIV and AIDS. University of Maryland students expressed their concerns and asked questions about safe sex. On Friday, students were able to go to the STAMP Student Union to help in quilt panel making for the AIDS Memorial Quilt. Along with provided materials, students were able to bring personal mementos to include in the quilt. Junior Katie Williams stopped by the event.
I stopped by the quilt making. I've never personally known anyone who's had AIDS, but I think this is beautiful to see people with...
Students at the quilt panel making talked about friends or loved ones who had been lost to the AIDS virus. There was an opportunity to share stories about the effects of AIDS and the role the virus plays in the lives of those who have it and their friends and families. Along with other activities last week, students were able to have free HIV and STD screenings on Tuesday and Thursday. However, the university offers HIV testing year-round, Monday through Friday, at the Health Center. For more questions, you can call 301-314-8184. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Caitlin O'Brien.
Christmas came early for the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center, which received a $1 million gift for new technology from the Kafritz Foundation. The foundation gives money to strengthen the Washington, D.C. area in the forms of arts and humanities, community service, education, and healthcare programs. CSPAC serves over 100,000 residents from the Washington area every year and will use the gift to strengthen the technology and equipment necessary to host nearly 1,000 performances annually.
The end of the semester is here, and with it, end-of-term projects and the dreaded finals. Many students will find the next couple of weeks extremely stressful, so Terp Weekly Edition's Matt Butner went on a mission to find out just how students expect to handle the pressure.
Maryland students are pretty diverse in how they deal with stress.
Just work out a bit, run, mainly sleep. That's basically it.
Mainly by hanging out and going out with friends. Binge drinking.
I guess I don't procrastinate and get things done ahead of time.
Hitting the gym, just working out, hitting a heavy bag.
I just talk to my friend, I sleep and eat to relieve my stress.
Keep a schedule and outline every minute of every day.
I go to CSPAC and I do something musical. I sing and I play piano.
I handle stress, I schedule breaks, so like it's not like every minute scheduled, but I say, well, if I do an hour of work, then I can have a 10-minute break, and then that gets me through it.
Just learn to relax. Stress is a killer. It's not worth it. Whatever's meant to happen is going to happen anyway, so it's kind of my philosophy.
Go to the gym, drink with my friends, stuff like that, do martial arts, hit the speed bag, things like that.
I usually just read a book or chill. Relax, watch TV.
I get to a point where I realize that it's not that big of a deal in the long run, and I can only know so much, and so I just sort of, just let it go.
Once I get really stressed out, just take a deep breath, relax, go listen to music, play video games, do something to take my mind off it.
I pray a lot. Whenever I face a stressful situation, I ask God to help me through it, give me wisdom.
This seems very counterintuitive, but I make my life more organized. I write down what I have to do, when I have to do it, and make a timeline to get everything done.
Drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes, lifting weights, taking breaks between studying.
I go to the gym, exercising is really good, and talking to friends always helps, and like family.
When you have a lot of things to manage in a short period of time, it helps to relax your mind so that you can connect different things and make a plan of what you got to do and when you're going to do it. And for me, having a plan and being able to set some kind of deadline or timeline of how I'm going to get things done helps me not freak out when you have so much to do in such a short period of time.
In College Park for Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Matt Butner.
That's all for this semester's Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Jennifer Memolo.
And I'm Matt Moderno. The show will return in the spring, but you can always find this edition and earlier broadcasts on the web at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.